Am I loud? I'm sorry, I won't be so loud. I'll try not to let you hear me back there. Mark chapter number 12. We're going to start in verse number 41 in Mark chapter number 12. By way of introduction, I would just say that I came across this passage originally because me and Pastor went to this little thing over at Golden Corral, little pastor's challenge thing they had about using technology in your ministry or whatever, and me and Pastor went for the food. I mean, just good spiritual reason. But we went over there, and they challenged you to start, one of the guy who spoke, he challenged us to start. He said, you listen to a lot of things. He said, you should just listen to the straight word of God. No preaching, no nothing. Just listen to the straight word of God. And so I've taken that challenge up, and I'm like, when I'm trying to do things, I have a cool audio Bible that's dramatic, dramatized and everything, so I listen to it while I'm doing. And this passage right here jumped out at me. I mean, even while I was in the middle of doing stuff, like, I saw this passage, and it just jumped out at me, and the Lord worked in my heart. And so I just take it that I would challenge you also with the same challenge I would. If you have opportunity, there's times when you're doing something where you don't want to have, like, you can't have something big going on, but you can just listen to the word of God while you're doing it. It has been an encouragement to me. There's lots of passages that just jumped off the page when I hear somebody else read them, and when I hear the just their voice inflection as they read it and get different things out of it. So I would challenge you with that. But Mark chapter 12, verse number 41, and it says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This morning, just for a short period of time, I would like to challenge you with one simple truth that I find in here, and then I'd like to give you three small challenges from the whole passage. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I know that much prayer has already gone in this service, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for all the good things you've done through our church, and Lord, you're doing in our lives. And God, I pray that this morning there would be no different. God, I pray that your word would please work in our hearts, Lord, not because of anything I have to say or anything that I can do, but Lord, you've promised to bless your word, and so Lord, we're going to claim that promise here this morning. God, help us, meet with us, and we'll give you the honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look through this passage, just like I said, there's one simple truth, that I mean, it's an elementary truth that I want to share with you, and then we're going to look at three challenges that I believe we can apply to all our life. And as we read through this passage, we set it up. I believe it's a very familiar story. Jesus is sitting on the side watching the people at the treasury and watching the people as they come in and give. And they're coming in and they're watching, and Jesus is staying on the side watching them come in. And the Bible says that many rich people came in and they whipped out their chain purses or whatnot, and they gave lots of money. I mean, just dumped the money in the treasury. And the story we know goes through, and there's a widow that comes in. Me and my wife were talking about this. I was asking her, how did she picture the widow? And I know a lot of times we picture her as an older person or whatnot, just kind of like coming over. And she takes the two little coins there that she has. The Bible says they make a farthing. And she walks over in the midst of all these things. Jesus is watching all the things that happen. And he watches this little lady drop her two pennies in that make a farthing, the two mites. And Jesus calls over his disciples. He says, guys, come over here. See that lady, that little lady just walked across, that walked away from there? She just gave more than all those people just combined. And I don't know if the disciples saw the whole situation or saw what was going on. And they're like, what? She did? She didn't even have, like, did you see that guy with that big change purse? I mean, he dumped. How did she give more? I didn't see her bring anything in. And Jesus says, because she gave all that she had, even her whole living. And this morning, I would like just for us to look just at the one simple truth, number one, that jumps out of this passage, and I cannot help but address it. It says that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money in the treasury. The first thing I would see is the observer, and the observer is Jesus Christ, that Jesus sees everything. I know it's a simple truth. I mean, we tell it in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you do. I mean, what you do. Don't jump around there. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. I mean, we sing it in Sunday school, even as little kids. We understand the very fact that Jesus is watching.
Yes, sir.
But we see that when these people came through, that Jesus is standing on the side, and he sees everything they did. He knew their hearts. He saw what they gave. Bible talks about how Jesus oftentimes looked at the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, on the outside you look good, but you're whited sepulchers, because inside is nothing but you're filled with dead men's bones. He saw everything that happened. And first, as we look at this passage, Jesus sees the sinful. He sees those people that come up with their hearts not right. He sees those people that come up, and he knows exactly what's going on in their lives. As we talk about revival, we've gone through a lot of things, and God has greatly blessed our church. And it's been something that only God could do with the things that he's done. I look at it, and I think we still have to get back to the simple fact that Jesus sees our sinful actions. No matter how much we get involved in all kinds of things, and we go forward in all kinds of things, and we get involved in all kinds of things, we cannot go past the fact that Jesus Christ sees our hearts, and he knows our sinful actions. He knows every thought that goes through our mind. He knows the things that we do in private. He knows the things that go on in our families where our church members don't. And we come in and we smile and laugh and joke, but God knows those things. It's just a simple fact, but I would feel we missed one of the things in the whole passage we did not address, that Jesus sees the sinful. Not only does he see the sinful, we look through the passage, the Bible says that she sees that she's a poor widow. Jesus knows who she is. Jesus knows what she has. He knows the situation she's been through. He sees the sorrowful. He sees the situation of a woman that come in, and not only did she lose her husband, but she had no money. She was destitute. And in widows in the Bible time, we know that they didn't have any hope of getting more money. It wasn't like they were just going to wait till their husband died and they inherited all this, or they had all these things coming in. She had nothing. And Jesus saw this lady to come in as people are emptying their pockets and giving everything they have and putting it in there and probably laughing. And as the Bible said that the Pharisees oft did, would throw things in and make loud noises and make sure everybody knew what they were giving. And he knew that there was one poor widow that had been probably through a lot. Probably only God knows the sorrow that was in her heart as she walks up, and everything she has, she gives to God. And God sits back, and I believe if we look to this passage and not say that Jesus sees the sorrowful times, he knows what we're going through. There are a whole lot of things that go on in our church sometimes that don't even come to the big church as a body, that just little things that come up, and I hear from pastor, and I get to, and he tells me, and we sit down on Tuesdays and we meet, and he tells me, so-and-so's going through this, so-and-so's going through that, you need to pray for him. And he tells him these things in confidence. He says, hey, would you please pray for him? Be in prayer this week, because there's people that are hurting, and there's things that are happening, and Jesus sees this lady, and he says, you know what? I know her situation because Jesus sees it. So Jesus sees the sorrowful. Lastly, the observation I would have to say is that Jesus sees the secret. She comes up, and she drops in her two coins. You don't hear anybody in there saying anything. You don't hear anybody in the passage or even Jesus making a big thing about what happens when she drops her two coins in there. You don't hear like the big rings and somebody there to clap their hands and say, hey, she just gave everything she had. Attention, everybody. She just gave everything she had. She just walks in and she drops in her two coins and goes on her way. Jesus never even stops the lady. Jesus never even stopped her and said, hey, thank you, ma'am, for what you gave. Thank you for what you did. But he saw it. Jesus sees the secret. And sometimes I believe in our hearts and minds, even with the things going on in our church, all the great things that are coming, there are a lot of people that do a lot of good things. And sometimes we get discouraged. I mean, we get discouraged kind of hardcore. Like we're like, Lord, I'm trying to do all these things. Maybe it's a wife, and you're taking care of your husband, and your kids are going crazy, and he comes home from work, and everything's going to a mess. And then he walks in, and he says, is dinner ready? No, not yet. It's been a busy day. Okay, well, call me when it's ready. He goes, plops in front of the television or whatever he does, read the newspaper, and everything's going crazy. And someone says, and the wife may say, hey, I wish my husband understood. I wish my kids understood all the work that I put in. But I can let you know that Jesus knows those things in secret, and Jesus knows about it. The husband that goes to work, and he goes to work, and it's been a tough day at work. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong, and you come in, and I mean, he comes in, and the kids are going all to crazy, and they want to spend time with dad, and he takes his time to go out and play with his kids, and he takes time to spend with his wife, and he says, hey, I wish they understood how hard it was for me to do all these things. Guess what? Jesus knows. He sees it. He sees those things done in secret. For the young person that goes to school and sees people goofing off and doing things that are ungodly, And he rises up and says, I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to be in that situation. I'm not going to be in that conversation. I'm not going to go there, not going to do this. And there's nobody at your school that comes in and says, good job for doing what's right, brother. Good job. I appreciate seeing that. Not from a teacher, not from a fellow student. Guess what? Jesus sees it. He stands back in our lives and he observes those things, whether it be at our workplace and everybody else seems to be doing well and everybody else is going a little farther forward and you feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I go in early. I stay late. I try to be a good testimony. I don't talk about people. I don't put people down. Jesus sees it. And as we go into this passage, I believe just the elementary truth at the beginning of the passage is that Jesus sees everything. He's observing. He's beholding the things that we do. So if there ever should be a call to holiness, there ever should be a call to revival, ever should be a call for me to go farther and do more for Christ, is the simple fact that we learn in Sunday school. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Jesus sees the situation. But now let's go through this passage. And there's three challenges I'd like to make from verse 41 through 44 that I'd like us to see. I'm going to read the passage one more time. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. As we look through this passage, as we look for three challenges that I want us to understand this morning. Number one, I want us to understand, especially we talked about this a lot with humility and with revival and everything going on. Our abundance does not impress Jesus Christ. Our abundance does not impress Christ at all. He comes through, these rich people come through and they pull out of their pockets, they pull out of their change purses, they have money. The Bible says some of them were rich. And they come in and they give their money to the offering there and they're putting it in and Jesus is walking in and you never see Jesus looking at any of them and being impressed by how much they gave. Now, I'm not going to lie that when I used to usher, I don't usher now because of so many things going on, but if I was ushering and I was walking down this aisle and I saw somebody pull out a wad full of hundreds and start, and they popped those in my offering plate as I was going to the, as I was taking it back to the back, I'm not going to lie, I'd be a bit impressed. I'm not going to lie that I'd look and I'd probably smile and I'd be like, whoa, I'd get a raise. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But I'm like, whoa, they just gave a lot of money. They just put a lot of things in the offering plate. But when we look at Jesus, they come and then they give all their money and all those things. Their abundance in no way impresses Jesus Christ. He doesn't stop him and say, wow, look how much you know why? He owns it all. Our paper money to God, as he looks down from heaven and we laugh, oh, look how much I've got in my bank account. Look how much I've got of this, or how many talents and abilities that I have. How can you impress an omniscient God? When Albert Einstein sat down and figures out his equations that would blow my little finite mind up and give me a headache for the rest of this month. And he writes those things down. God sits in heaven and chuckles. Good old Albert's finally figuring that out. I've known him forever. How do you impress an omniscient God? How do you impress an all-powerful God? Well, God, my great abilities, my great physical abilities, my great this, my great that. The Bible says, and he made the stars also. Yeah. How do you impress an omnipotent God? How do we impress an omnipresent God? We go to track meets, and I go to track meets for Anton and Blake. They go for PCA, and we watch these guys run. And there are some guys out there with great athletic abilities. But you know what? When he takes off from the 100-meter dash, and he's right here, and he takes off to go down to the end, guess what? God was there when he left, and God was already there when he got there. He can set all the records he wants. You cannot impress with your abundance and all-powerful, all-knowing God. And sometimes I think we forget that. We think that, hey, God, you see what I'm doing in my life? We're having revival, and I'm throwing these things out. God, look at me. God, we're doing these things in my home, and we're doing all these great things. Hey, let us never be lifted up in pride, because our abundance does not impress Christ. Yes, sir. The things that we think, oh, wow, look how great I am, does nothing for him. In fact, he's looking for the widows. He's looking for the people that do, that give all they have, the people that have nothing. We talked about this in Sunday school in the life of Moses, and we talked a bit, second, for Gideon. When God was looking for a man to take care of Israel and to bring them up from the Midianites, he did not look for a man with a great resume. He did not look for a man with great strength and great abilities. When he went to get it from Midian, he said, he went down to find Gideon hiding, trying to get a little stuff prepared up. He says, thou mighty man of valor, I can use you. And may we never get to the point that we thinking that all our doing and all our giving and all our going, that we can impress God. Because God is not impressed by it at all. I mean, he's glad when we do great things. And you never once in this passage see Jesus go to any of these people and say, hey, don't give that money. Don't give that money. You have a wicked heart. Don't give that money because you're not doing this. No, God never tells them anything. He never rebukes any of them. But he's not impressed by it. And I know that a lot of times, Kevin Myers said it very well at Strong Men's Meeting on Tuesday, that a lot of times we think that when we have revival, when we start getting to go and doing things, and we get involved in everything, well, that means I need to be here, I need to be there, I need to be involved in this, I need to do more of this. No. Revival means that we need to have a better relationship with God, that we got to get a little closer walk with God, because God is not impressed at all with our abundance. Yes. God is not impressed at all with all the time that we say we can spend for him when we don't have a right walk with him. This morning, if you're not saved, God doesn't care about your abundance. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're here with us this morning, God's not concerned about your abundance when it comes to all the things that you can do. It comes the same thing, just like I'd say to a Christian, God is not at all impressed by all the things that you can do as a Christian, but as an unsaved person, even more, God is not impressed by all the great things that you can do. Well, you know what, I give this. I've been over here. I used to go to church here. I used to do that. God is not impressed by it all. In fact, in Isaiah, he calls it all filthy rags. He calls it nothing. When I was in college, I had the opportunity to go to and work at Sports Center Day Camp. And now those same people that are in Sports Center Day Camp now, I see them walking around the college, and high school, and they're bigger than me. And so I feel, even though I'm only 27, I still feel like I'm getting old, because I see all these kids that used to be 5, and like I watched them jump around and act like crazy in the bathroom when I had to take them to the bathroom, and they run out of the stalls and do all kinds of crazy stuff, and now they're like walking across, and I'm like, hey, but I don't tell them all those good stories. I'll save those for later. No. But I remember I had the opportunity, and it was a great job. I mean, you took the kids ice skating, you took them bowling, you did all this, and then at 3 o'clock you got off work. Best job I ever had in my life. But one of the perks of the job was nap time. We did get nap time. And so they got nap time, and they told me, the people themselves, the horse's mouth said, if they were quiet, they did not care if I fell asleep too. So I heard it straight from them. So I said, okay. So we get back in. Hey, go to the bathroom quickly. It's almost nap time. Hurry, get in there, get out. Let's go. Lay down on those mats. Close your eyes. Be quiet. And I'm going to sleep. And, so, and they had nap time. And I remember, like, periodically every day, I would just, if I did fall asleep, I didn't fall asleep all the time. If I did, I would just wake up randomly and say, hey, be quiet. Y'all need to stop that. And then like everybody would roll over, and you just hear shuffling, and then they'd like go back. I'm like, it worked. And then go back to sleep. Well, I just remember one time I woke up, and there was a young man there that he was over in the corner, and I can't remember his name at all, but I could still see his face, and he was messing around with something in his hand. He had a paper in his hand, and I was like, hey, be quiet. I was like, come here, give me that paper you have in your hand. And he's coming, like I'm sitting on this mat over in the corner, and I'm like, come over here. And he's like walking towards me, he's like stepping over by, and he has this paper in his hand. And he puts it out, and I was like, give me that paper. Where did you get this paper from? And he puts that paper out, and he's like, I got this paper from my bottom. And he dropped this piece of toilet paper in the air. And it was like slow motion. all I could think was, no, don't let that touch my hand. And I remember watching that piece of paper go in slow motion come, and I yanked my hand back, and I jumped back, and I was like, pick that up and take that to the bathroom and go wash our hands. And I remember just being disgusted by that. And as we laugh and as we joke, and I mean, it was crazy. But when we come to God as an unsaved person, God says that our works, our righteousness, the best we have, are his filthy rags. Yes, God looks at that and says, I don't want this. Yeah. Don't bring this to me. I'm a holy God. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, the first thing I would also like to know, just as I would say to every Christian, God's not impressed by all the great things you can do. Because the Bible says that there's going to be people in heaven that said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And God says, didn't want to impress on them. I never knew you. He's not impressed by it. Second thing I would like to see from this passage is in verse number 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. The amount does not influence God. The amount does not influence God. When God comes to this, when we come to this passage of scripture, when we come to this story, there are people that are casting in great amounts of money, and you have a little lady that gives everything she has. The amount that we have does not interest God. Once again, just like I say, how do you impress an almighty God with our talents and abilities? You cannot. See, all the talents and abilities that Aaron Burton has, they're only given to him by God. We talked about this morning in Sunday school about Moses. And God calls Moses and says, Moses, I want to use you. I want to do great things for you. I'm going to take people of Israel out. I'm going to do all these things. And Moses says, well, God, I can't do that. I don't have this talent and ability. I can't talk, God. You know that. And God says, who hath made thy mouth? Hath not I the Lord? Man, when we start looking at the amount I have, there are a lot of times where it stops us from serving God because we think we don't have enough. Or some people go and all they do is serve themselves while calling it serving God because all they can think about is the amounts they have. Guess what? The amount that you have does not interest God. God wants to know what you're doing for him with it. See, we can get caught up in a lot of things in the amount. Well, hey, God, I spend lots of time going to church and doing things around church. God, I spend lots of time doing things with my family. God, I spend lots of time doing this. Or I give lots of money. I do all these things. Hey, the amount, it's not what it interests God at all. God's not concerned about it. And we look at this lady with two mites. She throws it in. These guys that whip out their wallets and flip out and throw the money in there. I would dare say, there are some young people here this morning, that you look at the situation that you're in, and you say, you know what? I don't have the family that so-and-so has. I don't have the money that so-and-so has. I don't have the talents and abilities that so-and-so has. Guess what? The amount does not interest God. Because God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. See, God can use the two mites just as much as he can use the $100 bills rolled up. Because the amount does not interest him. And a lot of times, how many times have we stopped short of doing something great for God? Because we thought, oh, God, all I have is two mites. God, all I have is just this little bit. God, all I can do is just a little bit. Then, hey, do that little bit. I use a quick illustration. Miss Elaine, I'm going to use you for an illustration if you do not mind. When we used to pick Miss Elaine up, we used to pick her, and Miss Elaine knows people by the directory, and she prays through that directory. You know what? I do not expect Miss Elaine to jump up and preach the gospel to you guys. I don't expect her to run, go from door to door and knock doors down until she tells everyone about Jesus. But you know what? I have met, from what I know about Miss Elaine and from what I understand and from talking to her, she prays through that directory. Hey, she has two mites. She's willing to do all that because the amount doesn't matter to God. She's willing to pray through that whole directory. People that I look at sometimes and I'm like, man, I haven't prayed for them. There's a lady in our church that she's made it her ministry, her thing, that, hey, I can't do everything else, but I can sure pray for some people in the directory. The amount doesn't interest God. God's not concerned by saying, hey, well, you can't serve me unless you have this degree. You can't serve me unless you have this knowledge. You can't serve me unless this. God's not interested in any of that. He just wants to know what we're going to do with what he has given us. Lastly, this morning, the third thing I want us to see says, for all they did, verse 43, Jesus calls unto his disciples, and he says, fairly I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. All is all that impresses God. All is all that impresses God. God does not care for our 50% Christianity. He doesn't care for our 75% Christianity. He doesn't care for our 99% Christianity. When she gave all she had, Jesus called his disciples. She's given more than all those people gave, because she gave all her living. And really what it means there, when she said all her living, she gave her life. Just like the widow that came to Elijah, Elijah came to the widow, and he went to the widow and said, hey, make me a cake. All I have is these sticks and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son are going to die. Elijah says, make me a cake first. Go ahead. I understand you're going to die, but just go ahead and make one for me first, and then you guys will be fine. This is pretty much the same situation this lady's in. She walks in with her two mites. That's all she has to her name, and she drops them in, and Jesus says, hey, disciples, she's given everything. She's given more than all they have. Man, would we stop being content with giving Jesus 97%, 99%? God's done great things in our church. God has. God has worked in lives, and we have a box back in the room of things that people are trying to get rid of and they're trying to get out of their life, and we're going to burn it Wednesday from the next for the teens. God's done great things. But let's not stop at just great things. Let's go a little farther. Let's give it all to God. Let's give my whole life to God. Hey, if I have things in my life that I know shouldn't be there, don't stop with saying, hey, I got rid of some of it. Go the whole way. If you have things in your life that you know you ought to be doing, hey, I need to read my Bible more, and I've got to get around my schedule. Hey, make time. The only thing that impresses God is everything. The world is full of 50% Christians. Oh, they come to church on Sunday, sit down, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and walk out the door. Nothing changes. Go to work, act like the devil. The world's full of it. Yes, sir. Oh, for some people that'll just be like, hey, I'll give my two mites worth. I'll give everything I have, and I want God to have it all. I don't want to hold anything back. You ask Daniel what it's like to give all. They said, hey, no one can pray to any other God but to the king. Mark it down, the Medes and Persians, they cannot be changed. The Bible says that Daniel went to his room as always, opened his windows, got down on his knees and prayed to God, because God was everything. Doesn't matter if you pass laws. It doesn't matter what you say. Hey, I'm all God's, Daniel said. That meant he had to get thrown in the den of lions. So be it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Standing outside of the fire. Hey, bend down. As soon as the music plays, we're going to give you another chance to bend down and bow down and worship the idol. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, we're not careful to answer thee, O king. If our God will deliver us, our God can deliver us, and if not, we're still not going to bow down. Okay, then make the fire seven times hotter than it's ever been. And they throw the... Nebuchadnezzar is losing men as he throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Men are dying, falling around left and right. And God sees that there's three young men who are willing to give it all. Don't care what everybody else says. Don't care what everybody else does. Give it all. And God comes down and he joins them in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looks through the fire and he says, hey, did we not cast three men in there? I see a fourth one. And Nebuchadnezzar himself says, and it looks like the Son of God. Man, when you got to give it all, God gets impressed, and God came down in the midst of the fire, walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and saw what they were going through, asked Ruth, hey, when she goes out, she has nothing left. She's a widow herself. She tells Naomi, hey, thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. I'm going to go. When she gets back to Israel, she goes to glean in the fields. Hey, I'm going to do everything I can to take care of Naomi. God blesses, she marries Boaz, and she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Ask Esther, what about giving all? Hey, I can't go before the king. I can't go stand before him. If I do, and he doesn't hold the scepter, I will die. Mordecai sends back a message. Maybe God put you here for such a time as this. And she goes in and she says, send Mordecai a message. I'm going to do it. And if I perish, I perish. Man, if Aaron Burden would get to the point where he understood that all is the only thing that interests God, how much more will I be doing? What else will change in my life? If our church gets to the point where we understand that, you know what, 97% is just not good enough. I'm not saying in any way that you need to be involved in 500 more ministries or do 300 more things to your already busy schedule. I'm just saying it's time to give God everything. Say, hey, God, whatever I get in that car, whatever is on the radio station, I want to make sure it gives honor and glory to you, so I'm going to give all. Whatever comes on my television, if it's not right, I'm going to turn it off because I'm going to give all. What's going to happen when we, just like this widow, throw in our little bit, and she gave all her living? This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, doesn't make a lot of sense all the time to talk about how all the things that you give up because you don't know our Jesus. And when we look at this situation, we look at this passage, all is what all God wants from you. He doesn't want your good works. He doesn't want all the things that you can present to him or all the good experiences that you've had. He wants your whole life. He wants all of your faith and trust put into him, not in the works that you can do, not in some other religion, not in some other church, or all the things that you can do. He says, hey, God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he says, I've given all for you. Now I'm asking that you give all to me. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he wants all. You say, but I don't have much. I just have two mites. My life isn't worth much. I don't have a lot to offer God. I don't have this. He knows that. That's why he says, for when we were yet sinners, that means that we were enemies of God. We were going the direct opposite way that God wanted us to go. And he still loved us enough to die. He says, I understand you don't have much to offer, but I just want all of you. I've given all for you. Will you give all to me? This morning, we take a simple story of a lady that probably did not know. It'd almost be like the candid camera of the Bible. She walked through. She doesn't know that she's going to be recorded in history. She doesn't know that all the good things will be said. She doesn't know all this. All she knows is that I have two mites and they belong to God. And I'm going to give it. Oh, the many principles that we can take from this passage this morning. But my challenge to you and my question to us this morning is, are we giving all? Because that's all that matters to God. Let's pray.